Hi, everyone, and welcome to another episode of Banking Matters. I'm your host, Lindsay Hughley, and joining me today is Lacey Samples. Lacey is the Senior Vice President, Compliance and CRA Officer at the NBT Financial Bank in Fort Worth, Texas, where she oversees regulatory and state compliance, audit, and enterprise risk management. Lacey's been in the banking industry for 24 years with a wide range of experience in loans, mortgage, operations, risk management, and compliance. She began her career at 18 years old in West Texas at Community National Bank and moved into the Dallas-Fort Worth area approximately 10 years ago. She is the president-elect and board member of the Tarrant County Bankers Association, board member and junior achievement of the Chisholm Trail, and member of Financial Women in Texas Dallas chapter. Lacey holds the Certified Regulatory Compliance Management, Certified Community Bank Compliance Officer, Certified Community Bank Risk Specialist, and Certified AML and Fraud Professional Designation. She is also a 2024 Bank Compliance Leader Award winner. Welcome, Lacey. We're so glad to have you today. How are you?
I'm good. Thank you for having me. This is such an honor. So fun to be on a podcast.
Yes, thank you. It has been, it's definitely a bright spot in my day-to-day work. So we always like to start on Banking Matters with the question of how you got into banking, how you kind of started your career.
Great. You know, like you said, I started my career 18. Really got the opportunity because I worked with another lady at an oilfield business in Midland, and she had taken a position at Community National, and they were in need of someone. And so I started my banking career as a receptionist at a Midland Drive location. And really, you know, from there, I didn't expect to be in banking. That wasn't my, you know, I didn't think, oh, I want to go work for a bank. It just was an opportunity that presented itself, and it just grew into a whole lifelong career, obviously. So, you know, at 18, like the sim, I was a receptionist, and I started cross-training with our mortgage department and putting loan applications and ultimately becoming a mortgage processor. And then I took a short leave to have my second daughter. And when I came back, I went into their loan operations department. And really the funny thing was, I was assigned one of my first big compliance projects. I was assigned a HMDA cleanup. And we all know how fun HMDA is. And so I worked on that project for them and I was able to clean that up and get a clean exam. And from there, that recognition when doing that, I moved into loan review, which was more of like a loan review from a documentation compliance perspective versus underwriting loan review that we're all kind of accustomed to. And became a loan review supervisor and ultimately loan operations assistant manager. So I spent 14 years at Community National. It was a great place to be. I had some wonderful mentors. And along the way, as that loan operations role, I started to oversee loan compliance for the compliance officer as well. So kind of did a dual report to our loan ops manager and the compliance officer. And I was going to be the succession plan to her. And then I unexpected move to Fort Worth. So I came into Fort Worth as a loan ops manager for another bank. And they needed a compliance officer after a couple of years. And so I gained the title there. And then after about 4 years, I moved on to NBT Financial and came in as their compliance officer. And then I got promoted to senior VP. And along the way, I obtained multiple certifications. And so the CRCM actually obtained in 2009 when I was at Community National. And, you know, as I went along in my career, the early years, I was still going to college part-time, but I was a full-time mom. And so I went into the president that I worked for then and said, you know, which direction do I take? Do I finish my finance degree or should I, you know, study to take this CRCM certification? And he said, you know, you've been in banking where it's 10 years now, so go for that compliance certification. And really that boosted my career, I think. I obtained that. It was the most difficult test I've ever taken in my life. But, you know, it should be, I think, you know, as we grow and we learn, you really have to display that you have the ability to comprehend all those conflict regulations. And so the CRSVN designation really, I think, boosted my career. So,
yes.
Yeah, so you got started.
Yes. So I think, honestly, I think we have very similar backgrounds on kind of the way that we kind of got into compliance and especially the way that we've kind of gone about it. I would like to ask, how do you think having such a heavy loan operational background, how do you think that that has helped you as a compliance officer and as you've really dug into expanding and growing up the career ladder in banking?
I think the loan operations experience was really a vital part of understanding loan compliance. I know a lot of compliance officers, and some came from more of a deposit operational background, some came from loans as well. But because the regulatory environment is heavy on lending and very complex, having that loan operation experience and really understanding how that back end works helped me with, you know, establishing procedures that were going to work for those departments because I had experience and firsthand, you know, day to day doing loan processing and posting payments and understanding how that worked. So I think it was a huge benefit to have that loan experience. When I did my CRCM, I didn't have any experience on the deposit side. So you know, I had to study and learn those regulations because I wasn't in the day-to-day at that time. And those regulations were easier for me to learn than I think it would have been on the flip side, only having deposit experience and then trying to learn these complex loan regulations that you don't know anything about day-to-day. So it's I think, very challenging if you don't have that background to begin with.
Yes, because I can say from experience, the most that I was never really involved in a lot of the heavy part of the lending operations. I mainly did, I oversaw majority of like the input and the managing of participation loans, and those I could have done inside and out, but having to really dive in and teach myself all of those loan regs, like you said, it was extremely hard. Just because seeing them in action and having your hands on them and being able to fully understand, I just think that literally that tangible experience with the actual rules and what they look like in a bank operationally, I do think that that makes a huge difference, especially when you're getting ready and prepared to sit for the CRCM.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, it just, you know, and growing up in the bank, you know, and seeing different aspects of the bank and going through all those roles that it took me to get to where I am now. I mean, all of that together really adding to, you know, those, I think, getting the opportunities for the promotions and expanding my experience. And, you know, initially I was just compliance and CRA. And then as my career grew, it turned into risk management. You know, risk management was always more of kind of a credit risk side because credit risk was always the highest risk in the bank for the most part. And so you saw credit officers going into those risk management roles. Well, now I really think that shifted as compliance officers are starting to roll into those because we really understand what it means to do a risk assessment. How do you determine the overall risk from an enterprise-wide risk, you know, enterprise-wide risk management perspective, and seeing how if something happens in this side of the bay, it's going to impact over here too, and instead of working all those silos. So it's been fun as things expand, you know, audit, you know, getting into that and exam management. And so now I feel like I have a whole full range of experience throughout the bank. So,
yes, for sure. I have definitely started to see more. So I'm in West Tennessee. And so I have personally seen more of a trend of especially even the mid-sized community banks adopting and creating that risk management position because of the shift towards the focus on, like you said, it started out where it was really just credit risk based, and now it's more of an industry-wide risk assessment on everything. BSA needs to be developed and fully based on your risk. That's got to be looked at. And now, honestly, that mindset, it seems, is across the board, deposits, lending, and BSA, all three now. So how long have you been in your risk management position?
So the bank I was at prior to MDT is really where that started. We had grown from when I started with them, about $150 million in assets to over $1 billion in 4 years. And that was really fast. And with that came the regulatory expectation to have those annual enterprise value risk assessments done. And so we partnered with an audit firm that came in and assisted us with learning how to do that, how to knock in all your controls and analyze where your risk was. And then I pulled that whenever I came to MBT, they were looking to do that as well, you know, establish an enterprise risk management committee and charter and risk assessment document. And so I was able to take that knowledge from my prior bank and bring it over to MBT. So for the last 5 years here, we did all that, you know. So our first 2 years, you know, it was figuring out how we were going to set it up, what our risk annual risk assessment was going to look like, and then how to bring all the silos together so that everybody could see the big picture. And we established that committee, the charter, and we now have a quarterly dashboard that committee looks at and analyzes different areas of the bank, where those risks lie, based on a lot of policy thresholds and policy limits and things like that, because that's really what the board sets as their appetite, right? You know, they want this limit. Well, that's their appetite. So we monitor those so that we can see, are we within the appetite? You know, are we exceeding that? And then what do we do about that? And so every quarter, we look and see where we're at, and then we look and see what risk level the board's appetite is at. And sometimes we just need to explain, like, we're over here and we know that these action items were way back down. Or we say, this is going to trend this way. And even with extra controls, it's going to stay at this higher risk level. So we make proposals to the board to, do you want to change your risk appetite? You know, so it functions really well. And when it really started working good, I remember our CFO going, wow, we could finally see, you know, this is going to impact over here. And everybody got interested in it. You know, we have all that senior executive management in that meeting, along with the chairman of our board, who was very active. And so, long story to get to the answer, but about 6 years in risk management, which led me to get my certified bank risk specialist designation, because as my career has grown, those certifications were very important to me to display that I have the knowledge and the understanding of that area, so that I could assist the bank with whatever their strategic plan was to move forward. And it's, you know, I think it's a key thing to have as well when you go under an exam. You know, one of the first things they ask is, how is this person qualified to be oversee this area of the bank? Well, you know, you can say, I oversee risk, you know, and here's my designation that shows that I understand that I have the training to do that. Same with CRCM and, you know, the compliance certified community main compliance officer was a supplement to CRCM. I figured out that I probably should have taken that one first, the course CRCM.
yes.
But, you know, and then a couple of years ago, BSA was put under my umbrella when our BSA officer retired and we hired a new one. And then along with that, that was my trigger for, you know, getting my CAFP. So it just has evolved over the years.
So I would like to ask, What drove the decision to choose between just the straight cams and then you chose the CAFP? I know that they're from the same organization, but yours is, if I'm understanding correctly, it's a little bit more specified to the fraud area of it. And can you just explain, I'm just curious to know what drove you to choose one over the other?
So our now she's the AML-CFT Oster, so they want to change our BSA terminology, but she has her accounts. Okay. And I'm not in necessarily the day-to-day of those functions because she oversees the day-to-day part of BSA AML, and I wanted to take something that was a little different than what she had. Also, I just was going to be in an oversight role, and I had not been, on the side of the bank that had a lot of experience with fraud activity and what red flags to look for, how to identify that. And as in my role as oversight over her and being part of our AML-CFT committee, I'm looking at packages and investigations and things like that. And I wanted to really have more in-depth knowledge on how to identify something that might be fraudulent or might pose an issue that maybe wasn't caught, you know? So it just gave me the ability to look at that better. And now if I were running the day-to-day BSA program, I think the cams would have been more important for me.
Yeah. Totally understandable. I do love how you took the time to see, okay, what do I have around me? What is my role going to require? I do think, like, especially smaller community banks, and we've, I know that we've had one of our bank reviewers, she wrote an amazing article in our magazine this past year about having a successful succession plan. And so honestly, you taking that time to critically think about what do I have around me, what's going to serve me best, is such a, number one, I think it's a great sign of a great leader, and just a really good way to show, especially like you said, examiners, like the teamwork. So we're not all going to be certified in the same thing, but all of us together, we can paint this bigger picture of what we do have in understanding and the value of each individual person. I think that's awesome.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. And I've always taken that role-based approach. You know, what am I in? What am I expanding to? What are my career ambitions as to my future position? I still have ambitions to grow past senior VPs. So, for years and years, I was like, I want to be a chief compliance officer. Well, as my role has evolved and I miss managing people like I did in loan operations, now those ambitions have gone more towards looking at a chief risk officer role and having a compliance person under me. So as I grow, that's kind of the direction I took, looking at certifications. Okay, what's out there, what's available, what's applicable to what I'm doing or what I want to do. And I have a kind of a different perspective than some compliance officers I've talked to. You know, we all have our continuing education we have to do in order to maintain those certifications. And you know, a lot of people will go to conferences, and I enjoy conferences just as much as anyone else. But my priority with CE has really been training, compliance schools, certifications. And I'll throw a conference in maybe every other year, every 2 years, because conferences got to give you those updates and, you know, those are for your more knowledgeable compliance officers, yes. But sometimes I like to just get back down to the basics. Like, let's refresh, let's train on this again, let's get in the details like the compliance schools do. And so I continue to do that, even though I'm at my senior MEP level, that just continual education is super important.
Yes, I agree. And I've spoke with several of our virtual compliance officers just on, now that we're not in the bank, that CPE landscape is a little bit different. And so we have like we have all talked about just the benefit of that training and that getting down to basic stuff too, because it is so important, like you said, if you're not touching it every day, to really kind of dig back in to make sure that you've got everything up. And honestly, I've sat on a few of like the basic compliance schools in the last couple of years when I could have far exceeded that as well. But just to really dig back down into the basics, I think is always a great starting point.
Well, and I'll always catch something like, I don't know if we're doing that, or I don't know if I'm handling it that way. And I'll go back and look at a procedure. Mm-hmm. And, you know, the first compliance officer that mentored me, she's retired now for us, but she told me, she said, the only thing constant in banking is change. She goes, so you have to be ever evolving, ever changing, ever, you know, continuing to learn, because this position is just going to change all the time. And it really has. You know, we see it, but administration's changing, the political influences, the, you know, really just the moving to AI. I mean, that's going to blow people's minds on how that's all going to work. And I still want to figure out how to get my hands around that and vendor relationships, you know? And so I think that's what makes compliance fun. I don't get bored with this job, you know? I've got to be on my toes all the time. And so it just makes it a fun career to be in.
Absolutely. So, Lacey, we do always like to wrap up our conversations with asking what's one piece of advice you want to leave for our listeners?
You know, really come and match in those certifications. I'm a huge advocate of those because I didn't come with a college education in banking, and I had to, you know, show my ability to learn in order to get promoted and move up. And I think if you don't have certification in the roles that you're in, go after them, you know, study for them, take those tests, you know, and they will just naturally help you boost your career. And another piece that I think is a big career booster that I've experienced is coming into the Fort Worth market. I didn't know anybody, you know, and I didn't have a lot of contacts outside of the co-workers that I had. So I started networking, you know, just from the CRA perspective, you know, you get involved in your community anyway. But, you know, we got out there and I, you know, started going to community events, going to young professional events when I was still in my mid-30s. And really getting to know other bankers. And that's what really expanded my nonprofit board roles. You know, with Carrick County Bankers Association, getting to know everyone who's on that board and the 150, 160 members that we have attending luncheons and, you know, providing that to all the banks in the area. And then I found a need with CRA compliance officers. They were like, we need help or someone to talk to. So all last year, and we're going to be starting one again this year, we hosted quarterly CRA compliance luncheons because, like, Dallas has a Dallas Area Compliance Association, but Dallas is a long way for Fort Worth, you know, compliance officers to take 4 hours out of their day to go. So we started doing one here, and all of those compliance officers, you know, we all need help or feedback, or we want to bounce an idea off each other. And there were all different sizes of banks coming to those, and they were great. And so networking, getting to know other mayors outside of where you were, getting involved in your community, and getting certifications. I just think those are the two huge things that will help any compliance professional boost their career.
Yeah, I fully agree. And I just want to thank you for taking time out of your day to share with us. It was so great to have you.
Yeah, it's just an honor to be on here. And excited to listen to the talk.
And for the rest of our listeners, that's Banking Matters.